Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are two-thirds of the way through Jurassic Park. We're stopped at the chapter The Park.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's a lot of similarly named chapters. Yes. So that is the park that is after the dawn, about two-thirds of the way through.
Yes.
So
Before we get into it, Luke, I'm going to get us warmed up because I took a little field trip this week.
Okay, I see that I just got a text from you.
Yeah, you need to look at that. Look at that text real quick and tell the folks where I went.
Okay. This seems to be some kind of... Is this American Ninja Warrior? No. What is this?
That, Luke. Where is it?
It looks to be in some kind of stadium with a lot of trapeze nets or something.
Oh, yeah, Luke. Dan went to the circus.
Dan went to the circus. I should have figured this out. Yes, okay. Yes, please continue. Okay.
So I have to report because I went to the circus yesterday.
Nice.
And we talked about in our episodes on Dungeon Crawler Carl. I believe we talked about the fact that I don't know if either of us have been to a circus before.
Yeah, this is a throwback to a previous discussion.
Yes. So I had to go, right? The circus was in town. I was like driving by the fairgrounds and saw those big, that big, beautiful tent. And I said, I have to show up.
Of course.
So I went to the circus. It was fun. I will say that first off. I had a fun time. For reference, everybody, it was the Do Portugal Circus. International circus. They tour a lot in the Americas. I think they tour exclusively in the Americas. I guess I'll just give you a rundown, Luke, of what the experience was like. Tickets?
Did you convince anyone to go with you?
I had three friends that I convinced to go with me, Luke. Partly because tickets were cheaper if you bought them in a pack of four.
Okay.
Okay, tickets, $28 for a two-hour circus show.
That's okay. Each?
$28 a piece. Yes.
It's a little steep.
A little steep, especially like my comparison was like a movie, like comparing that to a movie. But
yeah,
I do want to like, I think it was worth it. And so here's what I'm going to say. We get in, they got the usual concessions, did not go with any concessions because we got there a little bit, like right when the show was starting. So I didn't want to like wait in a big line for popcorn or whatever. We had to see it. Okay. There was a juggler. There was a handstand guy who the thing I learned about the circus is there are a lot of guys that are just like good at one thing and they just do it in ways that are like raising the bar a little bit. So for example, handstand guy, really good at doing a handstand. So they had this like Eiffel Tower looking thing. Handstand guy did a handstand at the very top of it. He was like 15 feet off the ground on the top of this Eiffel Tower looking thing.
Okay.
Then
that's cool.
Handstand guy got these little pegs that like lifted up off of the top of it. It was like a steel rod that was like 2 feet long and had a flat sort of wooden block on the top. So he put two of those into the Eiffel Tower and then did a handstand on those. Right. So he's like another foot off the Eiffel Tower on these like metal pegs, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Then what he did is he had like six of those stacked on top of each other. So they slotted in to the peg below them so you could like stack them up, right?
Yeah.
So then he stacked up like six of those. So at that point, he's like 20 feet off the ground and they're bending a lot. So he's like at the top of this 12-foot contraption of like metal bars that are going up and holding a handstand at the top of that. Scary, I will say.
Yeah.
He gets a little off balance and that thing he's going down is all I'm going to say. Okay. But there was also head balancing trapeze guy.
Okay.
Which is where this guy got up onto a trapeze bar that was like 20 feet off the ground and balanced on his head. Only his head on the bar.
Interesting.
So he got upside down.
A slight
down.
Variation to the handstand guy.
A slight variation, but then headstand on the trapeze guy starts swinging around on the trapeze while he's balancing on his head.
What do you mean?
Okay.
Wait, he's balancing something on his head, or he's balancing on his head?
His whole body, he is upside down, and he's resting his head on the top of the trapeze bar.
And he's swinging
and
around?
And he is swinging around, yes.
Okay.
So it was impressive. I was like, that is...
That's crazy.
Insane. But the whole act was like, his whole act was just like, doing crazy stuff while balancing on his head on the trapeze bar.
Sure.
So, like, somebody spun the trapeze around in, like, a circle. He, like, got a bunch of rings and put him... He would, like, extend his arms and legs out or, like, bring them close together. He would, like, move his arms and legs around while he's, like, balancing on his head on the trapeze bar. Wild. Wild stuff.
Yes, I'm here for this.
The other crazy thing about this man... Our collective guess was that he was in his late 50s, early 60s.
Really?
Which was, yeah, wild. Wild stuff for this guy. They also had some like trampoline boys. I should say the circus had no coherent theme. So, and what I mean when I say that is they had some classic circus acts. That were in like the classic leotard sparkly outfits.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had like trampoline boys that were in basketball gear.
Yeah, the people that you, in the video you sent me made it seem like it was like basketball something.
Correct. They were space jamming out. And then there was another crew of gymnastics boys that were doing a lot of like what I would consider sort of like cheerleading throws and stuff. We could not figure out what their costumes were at all. Our best guess was they were like knights, kind of, but not really. It was just a very confusing costume choice. And then there was K-pop Demon Hunters dance crew.
Mm. Of course.
And the kids loved it. There was a clown.
Good, as there should be.
Clown,
just one?
Just one. Didn't have a lot of clown makeup on. Was sort of more of a... Just had a sparkly vest that said he was a clown. And he was like a goofy
love that,
guy.
Actually.
Also, it was a mime.
How big were his shoes?
He was a mime clown.
A mime? Are you sure it wasn't just a mime?
Good question. No.
Talk to me about his shoes. Big?
Normal size shoes. Honestly, clown was disappointing. Clown is disappointing, yeah. But I will say I forgot the fact that a circus is mostly for children until we got in there and noticed that it was mostly children at the circus. And I was like, oh, okay. And the kids were loving the clown. The clown was crushing.
Okay.
The clown I thought was doing a bad job. I was wrong. The clown was crushing. Kids were literally falling out of their seats with laughter for this guy.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm glad.
Good for the clown.
I'm glad for it. I think the two most exciting events at the circus. Mm-hmm. There was a trapeze performance.
Good.
Very cool. A lot of like doing flips and people catching the people flipping and like.
Nice.
Yeah. Good trapeze stuff.
That's a classic.
Love a trapeze performance. Although the whole time I was thinking like. If you're one of those guys doing this trapeze performance, at what date do you bring up what your job is? And how do you convince them that you're not unemployed and it's a real job? And this is like your real job. You know what I mean? I feel like you have to bring out a video too. You have to be like, I'm a trapeze artist. Let me show you so you believe me.
I feel like the trapeze artists are actually easier to do this than some of the other acts.
Than like head spinning trapeze guy?
Like the handstand boy, I think would be harder than trapeze person because that's already like an established thing.
I guess that's true. Kind of. Yeah, if you had to like explain you do the handstand in the circus.
If you like, because I'm a trapeze artist, I'd be like, that's wild. Tell me more.
That's true.
I wouldn't Yeah. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If you were like, I handstand for a living, I'd be like, no, you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Well, unless your like profile was like the amazing Guillermo.
Sure. Sure. And which would be a risk.
You had it like, as your profile picture.
Yeah.
Okay. The trapeze artist. I also got to say there was a juggler. The juggler was just bad. The juggler did a bad job. The juggler at one point bit off way more than he could chew because he had somebody give him a bunch of rings to juggle. And then for like 30 seconds, he would throw one up in the air and you could see him be like, ah, nope, 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 not this one, not this time. Let's try it again. And he would throw one up and then he would just watch it and be like, am I going to throw the rest of them? Ah, nope, can't do it. Nope, 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 nope. And he would just catch the one and he just did that for about 30 seconds. And then the music stopped and he took a bow and was like, yeah, I could never get all those rings in the air.
Wait, he just threw one?
You could tell he was like trying to find the right timing to start throwing. He did some juggling first. I should say he didn't just get a bunch of rings and then not juggle. He juggled like a few things first and he was like building up to like a more and more exciting juggling with a bunch of rings. But he clearly got to a point where he was beyond his abilities and couldn't get up the courage to actually throw them all up.
Better that than mess up, I guess.
I don't know. I don't
because
know.
Because then you're like, everybody, they're like collecting them and it's, yeah. Maybe you would have liked to see him try.
I would have liked to see him try it. He just wasn't bold enough to try it. But the people that were bold enough to try it, I should say, the closing act, Luke.
Okay.
They brought out a big steel spherical cage and two guys on dirt bikes blasted around that thing.
No way.
It felt so dangerous. Of all the things we saw, including guy on his head on a trapeze, this felt bad to watch.
I honestly didn't know that people actually did that.
It felt so dangerous to me. I mean, it was crazy. Truly, like, when I was watching it, it felt like I was watching CGI because of how, like, unnatural their movement was in this ball. They were going fast, Luke. This was like, this was hard. This was like death defying. It felt death defying to me. I don't know. I didn't love it because I was like, I don't want to watch.
You were stressed the whole time.
I don't want to watch these guys hit each other and have a serious injury.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Wow. Okay.
So overall circus experience. I should also say there were like 30 different performers at this circus.
Okay.
So when I think about like my $28 to go see this thing, I think it was worth it. To me, worth it.
I mean, the more we talked about it, I was like, actually, that's not that much.
No.
It depends on how many people are going and like how close you are to the action, I guess.
Oh, and you could see in that video, we're pretty close. Like,
yeah.
There's like less than 100 people in the tent. And yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time.
It sounds like you're fairly pro circus. No, no lion tamers.
I'm honestly, Luke, the only reason I went to the circus is there's no animals at this circus.
Okay.
I'm not going to go to a circus that they're like, hey, we brought a fucked up lion and a and an elephant that wants to kill itself. Let's watch them dance around.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, good call. Good call.
No, thank you.
Okay. Well, I love this.
Yeah. So I'm glad circus, you've gone. It was great. I also, Luke, very pro live performance.
Yeah.
Let's give some money to people that are actually standing in front of us doing a thing.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
All for it. I agree. This is great. Now I need to keep an eye out for the circus.
Luke, can I tell you something?
Well. Yeah.
They're touring right now. And do you know which direction they're going?
Are they coming west?
They're going west, Luke.
All right, I'm going to look for tickets.
I think there is a good chance that there is a performance of this exact same circus in your area. Which,
I can't wait.
Which you have to go to now.
I will. I absolutely will.
Okay. Good. You got to get 3 friends, though, because then you get a discount on the tickets.
Okay. I think I can manage. Yeah. Who would say no?
I'll tell you what, I went through a lot of folks before I found three other people willing to go with me.
Okay, you went with three other randos.
That's right. I was actually outside the circus being like, hey, you guys all wanted to get a discount?
You're like doing the opposite of scalping.
Yeah, exactly.
There. Okay, good. Good.
Speaking of jokers, right. Luke, let's talk about this theme park, huh?
Yeah, this is kind of similar, right? So, okay, so Jurassic Park, we're two-thirds of the way through.
Yep.
We've had some action.
A lot of action here.
A lot of action. Let's see. I'm trying to think of where we want to start. Because, like, I think kind of where we stopped was right when things were about to start happening, right?
Yes. I think that did they go on the tour when we stopped, or had they did, right?
They did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they had just gone into the cars, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Actually, let me ask you. So have you seen the movie recently?
I've seen the movie in the last 5 years, I think.
Okay. I think it's been a really long time for me because I don't remember any specifics of like plot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I have been like going, I am not going in blind because obviously I've seen the movie, but, yeah. It has been nice to revisit it.
Yeah. There's definitely some changes.
I forgot what all happened.
There's definitely some changes, that the movie made. And I think my plan is to watch the movie after we finish the book, just to like,
I'm for sure going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can we kind of just talk about the tour a little bit and like,
yeah,
before, I think we need to sort of separate this out from pre everything going wrong to post everything going wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first, they talk about, like, when they're on the tour, the little, like, voice-activated thing talks about the, like, skin problems of the dinos. Mm-hmm. And they're like, these dinos have a bunch of skin problems. We don't know why yet. We're still figuring it out. Isn't that funny? That's why they're like,
yeah.
I can't remember what the behavior was that they were doing, but they're like, I think they were like scratching their heads or something.
Yeah.
Who approved that line for the tour that was going to go out to like normal people there?
Honestly, the script on the tour is kind of crazy throughout.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Who wrote it?
Because it's like, you guys are going to change this, right?
It feels like, why, they I don't, need to.
Because like they would say things that were obviously going to change before the whole thing comes online, and it was like, why did you record this already?
Right, like why is this voice line even in the options? Because I got the sense that the computer was able to respond to like what dinos were in the area.
Yeah.
Because it could say, like, look out your left and you'll see a big scary dinosaur.
Well, yeah. So that was one that, like, it was, like, coordinated with some parts of the computer program.
Yeah.
Like, with where they were for sure. Was it coordinated with, like, the motion detector stuff?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But there were other things that was like, if you look to the left, you would see this restaurant. It's not completed yet. And it was like, what?
Right. It was
why
like,
did you put that
make
in?
Your reservations for this restaurant, except it's not ready. So,
yeah. And they would put in that it's not ready.
Yeah. Correct.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Unless this is like a self-aware.
Right.
It's like an AI.
Is this an AI system? Because if that's the case, thing. I don't know which is more impressive now. The like 1990s.
Well, but they said that they got some like famous actor guy to voice it, right? So
yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a TomTom that they got Snoop Dogg to do the.
Yeah.
The voice lines for.
Yeah. It's an interesting choice. I'm surprised they don't just have a tour guide doing this mm-hmm. every time.
You would think that would be...
trying to cut down on their labor costs, as we know.
Which is, we've already talked about, insane. Some of the stupidest choices. Yeah. Do you have anything else before we learn that the park is sort of going unhinged, Luke?
I want to say we haven't actually gotten to, like, the raptors doing anything yet.
Yeah.
But I'm... I do appreciate how evil they make them sound. When, like, I forget who is talking about it,
mm-hmm.
but, like, we get... I think it's, like, the guy who, like, used to work in like, safaris in Africa and has, like, the missile launcher.
Like, Muldoon, I think, is his name, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's, like, talking about the times that they've gotten out, and he's, like... And this is in his head, right?
Yeah.
He's, like... They can escape at ease. And then he also is thinking about how they're like the most vicious creatures he's ever experienced.
Yep.
And it's like, what are we doing?
Gotta have them, Luke. Gotta have them. I also love that this guy is like, he has convinced Hammond that he needs a rocket launcher to take out dinos.
Yeah,
he's like, no, guys, give me an RPG. We're gonna need a lot of them, actually, if things start going wrong, to take out a dino. It's like, buddy, what how is an RPG gonna be helpful here? I get that, like, it does a lot of damage, but there's got to be a better solution than just like the coolest army gun you can think of.
Right. Like, there should be a more something that's more specific to the situation, right?
Right. Like, an RPG is for like a tank, like an armored tank. This is a living creature. I feel like there's a difference in the sort of like thing you want to deal with that problem,
right?
unless Luke, they have added armor plating to the T-Rex to be like, hey, look, these aren't real T-Rexes. We made them even more badass. These have these have tungsten armor plating, like a tank does. We're planning to sell them to the U.S. military. That's our real end game here.
Right. It's sweet. You're going to love it.
It's really
good. Go drive around the enclosure.
go say hi.
Okay, but yeah, let's get to when things start going wrong.
Yeah.
Can I start with, like, kind of the moment they start realizing it
is
when they learn that there have been, like, births.
Yes.
Or that, like, there have been, they've been mating.
This is a big and important moment. Yeah. We need to talk a lot about this, actually.
Can we talk about the logic of the program?
yeah for sure,
that like counts the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which basically you put in the number that you're expecting.
Yep
and it counts all the dinosaurs up, and then once it reaches that number it stops.
Correct. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, it feels like oversight.
How could you make that error? That's crazy.
Well, Luke, it's actually a lot more efficient if it can actually stop counting once it's reached the number, you know?
Well, yeah, because it, this was a good question. Like, he says this.
Yeah.
And I don't really get it, though.
Okay, so
are you just saying that it finishes faster if you stop?
Yeah, finishes a lot faster.
Like, yeah, it's gonna take a little bit longer if you count them all.
Yeah, but it finishes faster if you count less of them, Luke. I mean, it's obvious, right? You get it, right? It doesn't have to count
agree.
As many.
I agree.
It doesn't have to count as many.
It's a factual statement. Yes, I agree with that.
I also, so to the credit of the people, I'm going to give them just a brief moment of competence before I rip it away.
Okay.
They didn't think it was possible for them to have little dino babies. I imagine because they genetically created only females. They did a lot of, I'm sure they looked under the hood when the dinos were born to make sure they didn't have, boy parts down there.
Yeah, of course.
But that being said, Luke, this program finishes counting in like less than a minute, right?
Yeah.
And then when they up it to like a bigger number, it takes not very much longer to count.
Right.
Guys, what are we saving here with this shortcut?
Also, I get that you're not expecting more, but presumably the program will make some false positives.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also,
we're just not accounting for that.
Also, I feel like you would want a system that could also tell you if a guest has somehow snuck into the dinosaur enclosure. Right. And it would be like, hey, there's actually more because there's a big unknown dino walking around in here that we can't identify.
Well, yes, for sure. But like, how does it handle false positives? Because this is a scenario in which you would be undercounting, right?
Correct.
Like the whole thing that they're saying is that they're like focused on not missing a dino.
You're right, but if
this doesn't even do that.
If a bush moved in a way that was sort of stegosaurus-like, it might be like, oh yeah, we got them all.
Yeah, exactly. It'd stop.
Yep, it'd be like, no, that
two
bush.
Two stegosauruses, that's how many I'm expecting. So, all right, let's move on to the T-Rexes.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to count this other big lumbering thing over here because we've already got the two that we need. We're good.
Right.
Yeah, really bad system. I don't know who's responsible for it. My suspicion is Hammond because I really want to just chalk everything up to Hammond that's bad here. But I think they're all responsible. The other thing about this that's crazy, Luke, no one is watching at night.
Yeah.
Hire one more guy, please.
A lot of them are nocturnal.
So many of them are nocturnal, and you know this. You guys have learned that they're nocturnal over time.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody on night watch.
Dan, I feel like you're not understanding the labor cost.
And I don't even care. The idea that they can't see because it's dark is they have disproven already because they're putting night vision goggles in all the cars already.
Right.
Just have your cameras have night vision too. How much do we need to cut costs at this literal dinosaur theme park, Luke?
I know.
In this world, does Disneyland not exist because it's just too expensive of an enterprise?
I don't know.
What is happening? We don't need to cut costs this much.
I know.
You have dinosaurs. You win, theme park.
Yeah. There's some... Okay, the other thing, because there's a lot of, I guess let's do just a lot of negligence items.
We have to, yeah. And we should say, this all needs to be in the context that the park has not even opened and three people have already died because of the dinosaurs on the park.
Right.
So
and it doesn't sound like they've really implemented changes to address those.
Correct.
That's significant.
And they're identifying more all the time where they're talking about the fact that guests could get poison spat at them because the car windows roll down and they're just like, oh, well, that's a problem for another day. So we need to put this in context. Yes, a lot of people have already died. It's not even been open to the public yet.
Also, as I mentioned, the raptors can apparently escape at will.
Correct. And they know how to drive boats too, so that's a big problem.
It's a real problem. Yeah. So there's a lot of systems that like fail. Okay. Actually, so a big event that happens is Nedry.
Yep.
The like computer programmer that did a lot of this,
mm-hmm.
like actually intentionally caused some problems.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, setting that aside for a second,
mm-hmm.
there's like a lot of scenarios that happen in this, and they like don't know what to do when those failure scenarios happen.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to do like testing for all of these systems. Like the one that happens this time, the big one,
yeah.
is like the phones are out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, the thing that I know how to do is we have to just like turn things off and back on.
Yeah.
And then he like doesn't know what's going to happen when he does that. And it's like, what are you talking about? You've never tested this? This is like, you have never tested when you lose power.
Well, yeah, but Luke, the park's not open to the public yet, so they just haven't gotten it.
Do you know? Okay, so I work at a, like, my job right now, we're like trying to start up a like new facility type thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's completely different.
Yeah.
But do you know how many...
Luke's like, doing woolly mammoths.
That's right, obviously, which is like, you can't even compare.
No.
But the amount of like things that we test so that we fully understand the logic.
Yeah.
It's like, what happens if we get this specific alarm on this pump?
Yeah.
Whatever. We're testing it. Okay. So like the idea that they have not tested literally every piece of equipment throughout like every failure scenario.
Yeah.
When they have like a T-Rex. Is wild.
We should say two T-Rex.
Two, yes.
And for also, now. Luke, like, I get that they want to automate a lot of stuff. Fine. Okay?
Yeah.
When you do that, though, you have to develop, like, standard operating procedures that there has to be a binder somewhere that's like, okay, we're having a problem. Go get the binder and look up the problem and then flip through and go through the process of resolving this issue. Get the binder. Go get the binder.
You also have to like test the logic
mm-hmm.
in the program.
Correct.
And like through everything, because like, I mean, I know they kind of like do a little bit here about Nedry needs to fix a bunch of bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, you should have fixed those before you had the live dinos.
Correct. Maybe the dinos were actually the last thing you should have been worried about.
Right.
Maybe you should have been getting those at the end, not at the beginning and then being like, oh shit, how do we control these dinos?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of corners being cut here. And I think honestly, a large part of that is due to Hammond. Can we talk a little bit about Hammond now?
Yeah, let's do it.
First off, his catchphrase seems to be, oh, balls, which I love.
Yes, that's a good one.
Especially from the 90s. A 90s oh, balls is like really good for Hammond as a 77-year-old man to be saying.
He's eccentric. Dan.
Really like it, and I feel like we get a little bit of insight into Hammond in this section. I think he just wanted to make dinos and he didn't care about anything else.
I agree.
And to a certain extent, I feel like he has sort of achieved his life's goal here and doesn't really care about what happens beyond this.
Yes, I definitely agree that like he is just like chasing an achievement.
Yeah.
single-mindedly.
It's almost like he's trying to go to Mars or something and is willing to do anything to just do it regardless of if it's even a good idea.
Yes. But the interesting, like, I feel like it's not only just getting dinos, but he, like, for some reason really wants the amusement park to work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As well. Because like, if he just wanted the dinos and if he just wanted like credit for creating the dinos, like he could go public with the idea.
This is true. Yeah. He has
like
this
locked in on having like people come.
Yes.
And do an amusement park.
That's right. Cause he has that scene where he's like, the only thing I want is to live long enough to see a bunch of little children see real dinos.
Yeah.
And that's like, he is that at the expense of everything else.
Right.
He probably also,
and that's why he's rushing. Exactly. As well, I think.
Yeah. Maybe we're going to find out he has some like terminal illness that he like, he has to get a bunch of kids on the island to see the dinos before he dies.
Yeah.
But man, at what cost, buddy?
It's like, what they need to do is just take their like most docile dino on like a trip. Right.
Mm.
Just so they can like get that out of the way for him. And then like everyone else who like actually is going to be taking precautions can be in charge.
Right. Right. Well, this is also like, it also tells us something about his character, that he does have some limitations as to at least so far what he's going to monetize, Luke, because there's an obvious one that we've heard nothing about yet.
Okay.
Dino steak.
Yes. Okay, I hadn't thought about this, actually.
Luke, are you telling me you wouldn't go to a dino theme park, see a luxury restaurant, and be like, I gotta know what kind of dino meat y'all are serving up
over there? I would, yes.
And, Luke, especially considering the fact that less than 1% of these dinos are born and like grow to a full size.
Right.
You have so much dead dino meat around.
Yeah.
You gotta taste it. Tried it. Give it a try, you know?
I'm sure some of them there have tried it.
You've gotta at least take a little nibble.
Yeah.
And that's a huge draw too. Imagine in the freezer aisle, you get a T-Rex steak or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine the, like, there's for sure some, like, some dudes out there that would find it really cool that we, like, brought back dinos from extinction just to eat them.
These are dudes that
they'd be, hyped up about that.
Yes. They also have a podcast, and they only eat it raw. They only eat
dino hunting also? Oh, the amount that weird rich people who like are concerned about their masculinity would pay.
The worst humans on the planet. I would actually pay to watch them go dino hunting because, you know, there's a chance that they don't make it out of there.
Yes. Yes.
This
is where the real money is.
This feels like where the real money is, and it's obvious that Hammond, while he does have some idea of how to make money, he is missing a lot of opportunities, which is interesting given his like peak capitalism speech. Did you clock this?
I had a note on his like take about pharmaceuticals, yeah. But I feel like that's not, is that the same?
That's
thing
exactly what I'm talking about, where he's just like, it's just like the peak argument against regulation and taxation, where he's like, God, I wouldn't even care about making pharmaceuticals because there's no money in it. Like, I don't.
Right. Which is like not true, though. Right.
Correct. It's not true at all. He's like, people wouldn't pay $1,000 for a life-saving medication. And it's like, oh, buddy.
Buddy, we pay $1,000 just to like have health insurance.
Right. Like, that's actually where the money is to make a new medication you can charge an insane rate for it.
Right.
Welcome to healthcare, buddy.
this rant that he goes on, I was like, this is just incorrect.
Right. And okay, Luke, I am starting. I've had my eyes out on Michael throughout this book.
Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton, the author. Because of what we mentioned last time, I've been on the lookout for things that I'm like, does he actually know what he's talking about?
Okay.
I don't know if he knows a lot of what he's talking about, Luke.
And do you mean like the details of dinosaurs or
there's a lot of sloppy details in this book. For example, okay. I think the pharmaceutical one is a great example where he's like, why would you make a life-saving drug? You can't make money off of that. When it's like,
right.
Actually, there's big companies that do make a lot of money off of that, Michael.
Can I actually make something about this? Because there's a very popular conspiracy theory out there that like pharmaceutical companies like have or can cure cancer, but they don't want to because they make more money off of the like treating cancer.
Chemo treatment and stuff.
This is incorrect. Okay. This is not correct. The like dream of a pharmaceutical company is to come up with like a big cure that like pays off really quickly.
Yeah. Correct.
That like everyone can take very quickly before the patent wears off.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yep.
So that's a dumb conspiracy theory.
So that's one that stuck out to me. The other that stuck out to me, Luke, is for some reason they specified that the cars that they were taking around were Toyota Land Cruisers that had electric motors in them.
Yeah.
First red flag. They mention that the gears were grinding at one point.
They did. Yes. I thought this was weird.
No electric car has gears. I looked into this. I was like, was there a model of electric car that had gears? None of them. None of them have gears because you don't need to translate a motor, a spinning flywheel into like motion in the same way. It doesn't work the same way.
Aren't they also on a fixed track?
Yes, Luke. So like, why are they cars? Why are they cars? They're on a cable track. This is a roller coaster. Just make it a roller coaster.
Right.
They don't need any engine in them. What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
The other problem, Luke, so the car gets thrown into a tree by the T-Rex and starts like falling down towards Tim as he's falling down the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
He mentions at one point the car hits a branch and a bunch of oil pours out onto him. Why are you filling your electric car with oil?
Yes. As someone who has an electric car, I am aware that there is no oil.
This is one of the benefits, is you don't need a bunch of oil changes on your electric car. Michael, I get that you're into the DNA stuff, and it's fun that you're talking about the DNA stuff. If you wanted to put an electric car in your book, learn anything about them. Have somebody read it and be like, oh, they actually don't have oil, FYI.
Right. Well, hang on.
Yeah.
Because there's not oil in the engine.
Correct.
Would there be oil in like the, like, what's the word? The like, where you, the axle that spins the wheels.
I mean, maybe a little. It would be grease. It wouldn't be oil.
It would be grease. Yes. Okay.
This so it would be a lot more
because you do have to have something to reduce friction when things are turning against each other.
Right, but you don't need something that's a fluid, that's a liquid, that's flowing around. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no oil in this car, unless.
Okay.
We've seen a lot of instances where they're cutting corners here. The like the creators of this whole Jurassic Park. I think that this is a gas engine and they're just greenwashing it. They're just being like, no, it's electric. We're going all green on the island.
Ignore that vibration.
Exactly.
That you can feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm here for that.
So I think that's, it's either that Michael Crichton doesn't know very much about electric cars, a cool thing he decided to put in his book that makes it unique and special, or they're actually gas engines that Hammond is pretending they're electric to seem really cool.
This is a Easter egg that I think you've found. Michael Crichton is critiquing the practice of greenwashing here subtly.
Wow, very cool. The other one, Luke, that is a place that I don't know if Michael is really aware of.
Yeah.
So Dr. Sattler.
Yes, this was, okay.
Thank you. Luke knows exactly what I'm talking about here. Dr. Sattler is a grad student working for Grant, Dr. Grant.
Yeah.
Now, you could have said postdoc.
Yeah.
He specifically said graduate student.
He did.
She's not a doctor, Michael.
I don't get it. This one's easy. This one I was like, is this like a typo or something? Because
the details, Michael.
I'm assuming everyone knows this.
I imagine
you don't
they would
get the doctorate until you graduate.
Unless, Luke, she has a doctorate in a different field and
she's
is
getting
now...
You think she's getting a second PhD?
She is a 24-year-old getting a second PhD.
Could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it also sort of... the lack of attention to detail that Michael has applied to his book, I think makes it make a lot more sense that the corporate people in this book are also having a lack of attention to detail, because Michael's just like, oh yeah, everybody does this. This is just normal.
People skip steps, you know, how it works.
We can't account for every possibility.
People don't check things. Yeah. It's normal. Okay. But continuing on this kind of theme.
Mm-hmm.
I know I brought this up last time, but this mathematical stuff that Malcolm keeps doing, the chaos theory, like this still doesn't make any sense.
We need to talk about Malcolm.
Right?
You're
not saying anything.
Yeah.
But
he sounds
like
cool.
I genuinely cannot understand the point that he's making.
He's saying it's impossible to control it, you know? That's chaos. Look, it'll make a lot more sense. Imagine a propeller with water on it.
Yes, please.
And then imagine the water flowing over the propeller, and the propeller is attached to a boat that is flying in space. And that's chaos.
Okay. I've got it now. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. For that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not saying anything, and I also am so annoyed at him, at his smugness is so annoying, because you're right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying anything. There is a moment where he looks at the graph of the dinos and he's like, "Oh, my theory has already been proven correct just by looking at this graph." And they're like, What do you mean? He's like, "Don't worry, we'll see." And then they get out, they go, they start doing the thing, and it's like, "No, stop. Tell us before we go out there what you're talking about."
Right.
And then, you know, we get out there and he's like, "Oh yeah, we should see three different humps for where you've introduced dinos in 6 months increments." And it's like, "Oh, yeah, that does make sense if this is like an artificial system. But why couldn't you have told us that before we're out in the middle of this dino infested zone?"
Yeah. Yeah.
There's velociraptors on the boat. Stop it.
Can I also just say a lot of the, like, when they actually start talking about specific things,
mm-hmm.
it's not math things.
Correct.
Like, I get that it's a graph.
Yeah.
And that has numbers.
Yeah.
But like the thing that he is pointing out is not a thing that like the mathematician would notice first.
Correct.
It's like, oh, this would be like the biologists would be like, "Oh, that's kind of weird."
Right. This population curve.
Like, yeah. And then like when they're talking about I forget other details, but it, like when it gets down to it, it's like all of the things that you have to talk about are like specific to this system.
Yeah.
And I think Arnold kind of talks about this in a way that I'm going to like mirror what I'm saying, but not quite,
mm-hmm.
which is that like Malcolm is talking in theoretical concepts.
Yeah.
And like you have to at some point come in and be like, okay, but what would go wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like if Malcolm's idea is that like when you make things complicated, it goes wrong, then like nothing would work.
Right. We wouldn't go to the moon. It would not be possible for us to go to the moon.
Right. It would be like, okay, you think things are complicated and something's going to go wrong. Let's try to think about what those would be and fix them.
I also am really... So Malcolm gets sort of proven right in what I think is the most frustrating way possible, because mm-hmm. Malcolm would probably be proven right in the long term. Like at the time scale that nature works at, Malcolm would be proven right. But then he's not even really saying anything, because you're just being like, yeah, if you create a sort of natural environment with a bunch of creatures on it, eventually they're going to evolve and find a way to escape and change and do this stuff, because that's kind of how
nature, like life finds a way thing.
Yeah, this is life finds a way thing, which is a great thing to say, but on the time scale of years, decades, or even hundreds of years, like life is a slow geological process. Like life is a millions of years changing process. And the only reason that he's proven right is they made like one mistake with the genetic code.
Yeah.
Which was incorporating frog DNA. If they didn't do that, everything else would have been fine. Right?
Something else would have come up, Dan.
Sure, but it wouldn't
have been. He has the math to prove it. Did you not hear about that droplet thing?
But it's like, okay, you got so lucky that they fucked up in this really specific way to allow for the nature part to go wild. Because we do this all the time, right? Like, we control populations of animals all the time. We're actually really good at it, because we've been domesticating animals for so long.
Yeah.
What? You got lucky, okay? You got so lucky, and it's annoying that you're taking this victory lap, because the other part about it too is, so he got lucky in that respect. He got lucky in the other respect that Nedry chose that day to like fuck with their whole vibe. Because if these two events hadn't coincided, if these two really unlikely things hadn't coincided at the exact same time, everything would be fine. They would have been like, oh shit, we got to fix that bug. And then we'll be good. We'll call that boat back that has the velociraptors on it. We'll clean up the ones that escaped to that, you know, to Costa Rica.
Right.
And we'll be good. They still haven't explained the like lysine deficiency, which I think was another good safeguard to have involved.
Yeah.
But like.
But you have to test it, to be clear.
Right. Again. You test it. Okay.
You can't just be like, I did this thing.
Which I think might be part of the problem with the whole dinos thing, is they can't really test it. Because the dinos are too expensive for any of them to die?
I guess.
But anyway. Malcolm is so annoying.
I agree. Yes.
I do think, Luke, there's a moment when they do the real count that I love. Because when they do the real count and you look at the numbers, when you see that there's 37 velociraptors, I was like, oh shit, this is actually very scary.
yeah
that was a great moment. I think Michael set that up so well, where he showed them in the cage being like super dangerous predators, and then when you get that like stomach dropping moment where it's like there are more than four times as many velociraptors as we thought, terrifying.
Yeah. Also, still wild that they didn't figure that out. That's a lot of velociraptors. It's
so many.
Oh, man. There would be, like, evidence, right? Like, there's the bones, a lot of food that those things have to eat.
Somewhere.
There's poo everywhere. Oh, man. Okay, also... Okay, so they... So everything bad happens, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
The T-Rex is attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like wrecking this car with the kids in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what I want them to do, but Malcolm and Grant, you gotta do something. They're kind of just watching this... this dinosaur manhandle these two children, and they're like, damn, that's crazy. Like, again, I get that you're in a tough situation.
Yeah. I totally agree with you here. It feel as an outside observer, like, you want them to do something.
Yeah.
But I also have no idea what that would be. Like, aside from being like, stay calm, kids. Stay away from its really sharp teeth. You know, giving advice out the window.
Right. Right. But they're literally just sitting there watching. I don't know. Get out and, like, yell or something and, like, throw rocks.
Yeah.
Get it to... like, I get that you're kind of... That would be, like, you sacrificing yourself in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, like, I don't know. I don't know. The kids seem like kind of annoying anyway. They're not my kids.
Right.
I think Hammond needs to learn a lesson. It's
Hammond's fault. Anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
He brought him here.
The T-Rex looks kind of hungry. Who am I to get between a T-Rex and its next meal, you know?
Yeah. I do like, and this is small, I do like that Tim's the kid's name, mm-hmm. right? Tim sees that his watch is broken and is like, well, I have to take this off.
Yeah, immediately trashes it on the ground.
Just leave. Like, I guess that's fine. I don't know why you have to take it off. It's not, like, hurting you.
Yeah, but it's wasted energy, Luke.
Yeah, he could move so much faster without it. This
think of true. The weight. Think of the weight he'd be carrying around. The dead weight.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Gotta move. Gotta move, Luke.
Gotta be quick. Okay, and then the last thing that I have is our guy Arnold does a pretty good job of mm-hmm. like bringing things back online.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
We get to read through some code.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just like a few last things that have to happen. And he's like already smug and is like, I guarantee you that we're going to come back online and everything's going to be fine. My man.
The smugness is wild when he's like, oh, all we've got is a T-Rex loose and a bunch of like a dead guy. Everything's going to be fine.
It's also like, I know that like people aren't actually superstitious in a way.
Yeah.
But you can't say that. Especially with like computer programs that we've already talked about how you like don't know what they're going to do a lot of the time. Like, you know theoretically what they should do, but you don't have a good sense of like the bugs involved.
Correct. Yeah.
That could come up.
Yeah. Also,
I would be so mad if you were like cursing us like this.
Yes.
Right?
100%. And I also would be so pissed because you've just learned that there is another really serious issue that you don't know even the consequences of. That there's like dinos breeding in the park.
Yeah.
There are reported incidents of the dinos getting off the island and being in Costa Rica. And now you have to take those very seriously because it's like, oh, it sounds like there actually were dinos in Costa Rica. Fuck.
Yeah.
What's that? We got to figure out what that means now. Nope.
Right, you were not in the clear.
No, you're not in the clear at all by any stretch.
Like, you got the power back on. That was one problem.
Oh, man, Luke.
They also still haven't found the children and Grant.
Correct. Yes.
They're probably fine.
That Malcolm guy's a real fucking idiot. We got this shit on lock. How many velociraptors are there? 37? It'll be all right. Where's that rocket launcher? Oh, the rocket launcher is also missing.
We only have one and it's missing.
Where's that computer programmer that could fix all these problems? He's also missing. Oh, okay. All right. We're figuring it out. We got it, though.
I feel good. I feel good about it. You know what, Luke? Honestly, we're building momentum.
In the face of a crisis, it is really important to, one, stay calm, and two, have a solutions-oriented mindset. And I think that's just what Arnold's doing.
You know what? You're right.
He's just maintaining the confidence in their system and doing his best, you know? Despair helps no one, Luke.
Despair helps no one. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what does help, though? Just taking a little bit of a nap if you can. Grabbing some Z's when you can, because who knows the next time you're going to get a little nap in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Dr. Grant, you're in the middle of a dino park that's gone pretty rogue. You've witnessed an attack by a T-Rex, and you've decided that your little snooze is more important than immediately getting help when the lights come on from anyone.
He's like, should I go do that little motion detector thing?
I'm a little eepy, so I'm going to have a snooze. Wakes up 6 hours later.
Incredible. Incredible stuff. No survival instincts, I have to say.
And I love that he wakes up 6 hours later and he looks at his watch and he's like, oh, that boat's still like 5 hours from hitting shore. I got plenty of time.
No, what are you doing, man? Let me tell you something. Let's say tomorrow morning, I have like a bit of a strange schedule and I have to get up earlier than normal.
Yeah.
I need to get on a plane tomorrow and I need to wake up at like 5 a.m.
Yep.
I obviously set my alarm, but also my body's like, we're waking up like hourly.
100%. I was also thinking this exact thing.
Meanwhile, Grant's like, how could you sleep for 6 hours after this?
Especially given the harrowing experience you just went through and the understanding there are still T-Rex out there.
Yeah. He's also on the ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, he's in a cozy little hay pile.
He's in a little hay pile. Okay.
Yep. And this is also where I'm just like, Michael, give him another reason that he couldn't get up and do this thing, aside from that he was just a little eepy. Like, give him like a bloody wound or something. I don't know. Give him some other reason than he was sleepy to not immediately tell them where they are.
Yeah.
Or have one of the kids do it if you're that confident that you're safe.
Right. I also love when I think it's maybe the lawyer when one of the guys is like, all right, we got to search the park for them. And the lawyer's like, tonight? Yeah, man, they're going to die.
Did you see this leg? And just pull up the leg of the like PR guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you not remember there are 37 velociraptors out there and they can open doors?
He's like, it's been a long day. Gotta brush my teeth.
I already got my pajamas on. I don't want to change back.
They're probably going to be fine. Oh, man.
Yeah. But they get to have a cool dino experience because of it, though. A cool dino stampede.
Yes, they get a stampede. They get a little baby triceratops.
Cute baby triceratops named Ralphie or Ralph or whatever they named him.
Yeah.
Very cute.
That's cool. That's fun.
But otherwise, Luke, I think I'm with Arnold here. You know, I think things are about to stabilize.
Things are looking up.
About
things
to stabilize. Yeah. Everything's going to be fine, I think. No.
Yeah.
No worries at all anymore.
Yeah.
So they'll just catch that T-Rex, move him back over, and good to go.
Good to go. Should be fine.
Oh man, also, once again, you had an opportunity to name a dinosaur a girl name because they're all, well, theoretically, they're all female, and you again chose Ralph or Ralphie or whatever the fuck. Like,
it looks like Ralph from her class or something.
Absurd. Well, Luke, we're going to see how this whole thing kind of comes together here at the end. I'm sure the last third of this book is going to be very much a tale of like corporate success and the triumph of systems overcoming complex environments because we follow protocols that are designed to keep us safe. And so I'm excited to see this triumph here at the end of man over nature, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll be back next week. I'm sure we'll be able to dig up a few hot takes.
And we'll probably be able to keep being Dubnerds.